Well, g'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by Mazda. There's a million reasons to drive a BT50 and the number one reason is value. Today on the show, we're going to have a little bit of a look at Liam Pickens' career after the Western Bulldogs star announced his retirement. Brisbane are well and truly on our radar after a come-from-behind win on the weekend to go 2-0. Carlton Port was a bit of a fun game. We're going to take a look at that and how Melbourne's midfield actually matches up against the best in the competition. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Leave us a review, leave us a rating, then unsubscribe and subscribe again because that helps too. Let's get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Xavier Ellis, as always. How's it going, mate?
Great to be here, mate. Round two, done and dusted.
Yeah, what did you think of the footy over the weekend?
Great. Fantastic. Loved it. Especially, like, yesterday's game. I think if you didn't support Fremantle, I'd say a lot was supporting Gold Coast because no one expected them to win too many games this year. Hawthorn, I turned that game off when they were 5 goals up. Bulldogs come flying home.
Yeah, I shook my head. I turned over and they were 20 down, and then I turned back and they were 20 up. I had no idea what happened.
And then even Brisbane in the earlier game, they were the outsiders at half time.
Well, we know my thoughts about Brisbane. That Gold Coast Fremantle game, also known as the Nick Rinn Cup, I've been a member of both those clubs.
I remember the Gold Coast.
I was an inaugural member when they were GC17, but I haven't been on the books for a while.
Now's the time they need you, mate. There's three people in the crowd.
Yeah, we've got a baby coming, mate. Finances are getting tight. I don't think you'll be shouting too many memberships.
Yeah, fair call. Keep it tight.
So big news item today is Liam Pickens pulled the pin on his career. Just couldn't get back on the park with his concussion symptoms. 2009 rookie, ended up playing 198 games and, you know, was close to best on in a premiership. Well, the Bulldogs have only got two in their history. What do you think of his career?
Brilliant. I think for the first probably 120 games, he was an absolute scrapper.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately probably for Bulldog supporters and also footy lovers, I think most people would say they enjoyed watching pick and play.
Yep.
He had flashes of brilliance.
Yeah, late in his career,
like, really uncanny. You'd take hangers in amongst packs, you'd come down with it, snap goals from God knows where. Player of the 2016
final series.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's a feather in your cap to be able to perform on the big occasion because the Bulldogs, of course, finished eighth. Eighth. They played West Coast over here.
Seventh.
So they played West Coast over here, then went win. So their back was the wall the whole way through the series.
That GWS prelim, which we've talked about before, is pretty much one of the best finals I've ever seen.
Fantastic career. And I mean, concussion and stuff like that's a really serious part of the game. And I mean, for myself, I get faint headaches, but that's just from damage to like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, just faint sort of stuff that needs to get checked out a little bit. But can you imagine not being able to run? I mean, you look at players that have had serious concussion over in the US, and I think... What's happened in the NFL?
It's become a serious issue.
Well, it has to. I mean, there's so many times. Jordan Lewis, can you remember that hit Jordan Lewis copped against the Bulldogs?
Oh, yeah, where he was out like a light.
And he's back on the ground in 15, 20 minutes.
It's shocking to think it wasn't that long ago, eh?
100%. So, I mean, they're heading in the right direction, but I can't imagine having serious headaches and stuff like that, blurred vision and all that sort of stuff, which is due to a... Like, I've got shocking eyesight. You wear glasses as well, because we've lost our eyesight.
Yeah.
But you can't imagine being fit and, you know, a really strong athlete and then having that taken from something that no one can see. It's a bit of an air. It was an airy fairy concussion. What does that mean? You got a broken arm, you're in plaster, you got a broken leg, you have surgery.
Yeah.
Concussion is just one of those things that unfortunately now is seen as very serious.
You don't know how it's going to hit people.
But in a pastime, it wasn't seen as such a serious thing.
So is that what kind of information have you been given? You said you get those light headaches. Is that a concern, something you worry about?
No, not really. I just got a scar above my noggin, which has got a bit of nerve damage and stuff like that in it. I don't particularly worry about it. I know parents and stuff are probably the ones ones that get a bit more concerned about that sort of stuff. And especially when movies like Concussion and that sort of stuff come out, more people become experts on the topic, if that makes sense, through a Hollywood thriller. But it is a sticky one, and you just hope that these young lads do enough now. Is it a month off football when you get a hit to the head now?
Yeah, it's kind of indefinite, isn't it? Yeah, it's almost a month at least these days.
Well, I know that, I'm referring to the US again, they have set period of time that you have to be locked away for and pass certain areas to, you know, then progressing to the next stage of recovery from concussion. So I think the AFL is still learning and they will keep progressing, but all sporting codes are coming from a long way back.
Yeah, I was quite lucky. I've had two major head traumas on the footy field.
You got a big scar on your eye.
Over my eye. That was a fractured skull.
Yeah,
and then I got my first front four teeth taken out with a hip and shoulder.
Yeah.
There was no concussion in either of them. It was just sort of blunt trauma. But I remember that was what the worry was, first of all. I had my internal bleeding in my head, but more people were worried about sort of the concussion than the actual breaks.
No, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
that is the first thing, because your brain, you can get a couple of false teeth. You can't fix your brain too quickly.
No, exactly. But Liam Picken, terrific career in the back end. Now, the back end of his career sort of changed the way people viewed his career.
Yeah, because he tagged there for a while, then he'd be a back pocketer. Then
Luke Beveridge just decided he was going to be a half-forward wingman, and he was unreal at it.
He was so good.
Yeah.
And he was so enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, loved it. So moving on to the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Geelong looked good.
They looked good. I mean, you beat a team by 80 points.
Your man Tom Hawkins not doing too well to hold up his A grader when he's giving off goals in the goal square. You don't do that,
mate. He's just had his second daughter. He's gone soft. I would have kicked that out of the stadium and ran past the kid demanding a high five. No, it's good to see. If it was a goal in it, he definitely wouldn't have handballed that off.
Mm. It was because of the game was how it was.
The game was over. It was good to see, though.
Full forwards. You can't do that as a full forward. That would be breaking some kind of code, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, he's a big bugger. Maybe he didn't want to run the extra two or three steps.
Now, we're talking a little bit about Melbourne.
Yeah.
I liked them going into the year.
Yeah, well, you liked their midfield.
Yeah,
well,
you'd say
of their three lines, their midfield was their strongest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, so I did a little bit of research, and I've got the midfields of Collingwood, Geelong, GWS, and Eagles. Okay. I've got their six or seven midfielders. I've got Harms in there as a tagger, which he tags a lot. I've got Greenwood, De Boer, and Mark Hutchins. Okay, so they're not really they're midfielders, but I'm not judging the tagger as a midfielder. So I've listed their Melbourne's best mids from 1 to 6, 1 to 7, and I want you to tell me whether that Melbourne midfielder is better than the one I've lined them up against. 1 to 6 from those three clubs, okay?
All right, let's do this.
So the first one, obviously, Max Gawn, okay? So would you say Max Gawn v. Grundy? Yes,
that's
50-50.
Yes, line ball, but maybe Gawn.
Yeah, beautiful. Reece Stanley.
Beats him.
Mummy.
Beats him.
Nick Nat.
Beats him.
Yep, okay.
Although, don't tell Rhino he said that Max Gawn would beat Reece Stanley, the North Smith medalist.
All right, now, Collingwood's a bit hard because their midfielders are so good, but Clary Oliver, I'd say Melbourne's best midfielder.
Yep.
All right, would he be better than Dane Beams?
That's a line ball call for me.
Not in a million years. Dangerfield?
No.
Josh Kelly?
No.
Elliot Yeo?
Probably not.
Okay, so that's Melbourne's best midfielder. He does not equal up against...
I think the Yeo one maybe is more line ball. So the Yeo and the Beams there are the ones where I'm 50-50 on.
Yeah, Yeo's two-time
Yeo's
best
very
and
good.
Fairest
All Australian.
Brayshaw was the second best midfielder, I'd say.
Yep.
Is he better than Treloar?
Collingwood,
I said it'd be spectacular. It could be side bottom, it could be Pendles, it could be
with those guys. The Treloar one, I think, line ball, but I'll get your point.
Joel Selwood,
no.
Cornelio,
no.
Luke Shuey,
no.
Okay, so Brayshaw again, centre bounce in a big grand final. He's not the best player in the matchup. Then Jack Viney, okay, v Pendlebury,
no.
V Tim Kelly,
no.
V Lockie Whitfield,
no.
V Andrew Gaff,
no, different roles. Him and Gaff,
but Gaffy played inside as well last year before he broke Brayshaw's jaw.
No, I'd tip Viney against Gaff inside, but on weight of performance.
You had to choose one in the midfield. You're choosing Gaff every day of the week. Nathan Jones, v side bottom,
no.
V Mitch Duncan,
no.
V Taranto,
no.
V Jack Redden.
No, probably not. I think Jones has lost a step.
I reckon he needs to go to
too.
Tagging.
Yeah,
I reckon he needs to become that tagger.
I was a big Nathan Jones fan throughout his career, but yeah, that's a bit sad to say that.
Now, last one, I picked Petrarca because he started in the midfield on the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay,
and he needs to play there.
Yep, v Collingwood. So Taylor Adams?
No.
Menengola?
Yes.
You take, okay, that's
fair. I might even take him over Adams, just for the more dynamic, but like...
But are you living on the huff and bluff of... How many times have you seen Petrarca?
I'm talking about what I think
there's a lot of hope there, but a lot of hope for what he could
be. All right,
be.
No, but I'd take him over Menegola.
Okay, Hopper?
No.
And Domi Sheed?
No.
When you go pound for pound, v the top teams in the competition...
Yeah, what he could be, I'd have him ahead of a guy like Sheed, but... not what he is now.
Yeah, so pound for pound, Melbourne, all the experts, I'd say 50% had them down to win premierships this year. They were the spruik team amongst the experts that I looked at throughout the year. Their best line is their midfield.
And they don't weigh up against
Collingwood, Geelong, GWS, or West Coast.
Well, yeah, when you lay it out like that,
pound for pound, they do not weigh up against them.
And you think now, like, the move of getting rid of Hogan, they don't. Sam Wiedemann's not Jesse Hogan, and there's guys who just aren't as good as him. Yeah. Yeah, the big Tommy McDonald, it's all right. Garlett's in there. But they,
in and out?
Yeah.
Go their defenders then?
Stephen May's coming in. But. Yep. Then who else? Oh, Lever, but he's coming back from ACL. Like, yeah, most of their best
thin,
guys
like
are coming
Salem,
in.
Salem's a good player, uses the ball beautifully.
Salem off half back, yeah.
It's not really what it's been reported as.
Nev Jett is a small back.
Small defender, no, he's a fantastic stopper. But do you know, I'm trying to paint the picture.
They're not as sexy as everyone thought they were.
No, and yeah. They're midfielders, and they're all very similar players. Very similar players.
So that'd be why...
Did you like my homework?
I did. That's very good. I like the lineup too.
So there you go.
Yeah, and how long does it take you to rank the midfielders, or are they all pretty much...
Oh, they almost fall into position pretty quickly.
Yeah, the Kelly Cornelio one's an interesting one at the moment too.
Oh, please.
Kelly's ahead of him.
He is.
But he did this last week, but...
You just need a refresher.
Yeah, we need to see Josh Kelly really back in.
You just need to see him this week against Richmond.
Oh, jeez, that's a good game.
Isn't it a good one? There's a good round of footy coming up, actually. I've done a little bit of forward-looking.
Oh, I like it. One of the team that... Okay, so we're very much on the record here and being panned across the board for my love of Brisbane.
Yes.
But luckily, it's bearing fruit this year. That was unreal. I loved it. Despite the OVH taking a long time to get the game on the screen yesterday, despite us asking the bar about four times.
What time? that game started at?
Yeah, with lunch. It was there, so it was the fourth quarter.
I'll play the fourth quarter was starting. Yeah. I mean, the kickoff was about 10 o'clock in
the
morning.
Who might have thrown stones?
I've been down there at 10 o'clock in the morning multiple times.
It was pretty packed.
No, they were good, and it was one of those games that you felt like North had them at arm's length.
And then they just couldn't keep them there.
Even when Brizzy got in front late, and then North jumped back in front.
Yeah, well, a lot of it, they shut down Aaron Hall, who'd been tearing it up in the first half. He was really good. But then sort of Mitch Robinson and co just went, our job's just to shut him down. And then it worked because he allowed guys like Jared Berry and McCluggage, who's looking excellent this year.
He is. But even just looking at that, you saw Aaron Hall, who was winning the Brownlow after three games or something a few years ago, and then he got clamped and fell off the face of the earth. Yesterday he had, I think, 17 disposals at halftime and a goal or goal two, whatever it was. Then they clamped him. You just knew that him running wild, there was an end point at some stage and it wasn't going to be the final siren.
Yeah.
I love Mitch Robinson, by the way.
He's great.
I would love to see him. And he's played at Carlton, obviously, and he's played at Brisbane. Brisbane haven't been great whilst he's been up there. And Carlton obviously battled as well. I would love to have seen Mitch Robinson in a Hawthorn during their era, West Coast last year in the Premiership team, July...
He would be that enforcer chatting the whole time.
Absolutely loved by their supporters, how hard he goes in. Sometimes I look at it, he's been banned from training sessions at Brisbane.
Going too hard.
Too hard. This one's not for you, Robbo. Have a spell, mate. Because the way he plays, it puts a smile to the... I'm a neutral supporter, obviously, most of the time. Watching him, and you laugh, because sometimes he absolutely cocks it up sometimes. He'll clean up his own teammate.
But he has a crack.
Oh, he just has it. And I really enjoy it. I wish... Because he would play in those good teams. Every good team's got four or five players that they need to do roles and stuff like that. He'd play in every team. And to see him at the top level on a grand final going like a maniac would be one of the highlights of my year.
Well, I would expect that he's never going to leave Brisbane. So if you follow him on Instagram, I've loved him even more. He seems like the dad of the group, like the older brother. He literally cuts all their hair on his back deck.
Old Mitch the Maniac, I used to call him.
And he just has everyone around all the time, like gets around the boys. His kids are involved in the club. Like he seems like he looks like an insane person, but he seems like a genuinely good guy.
Big fan of him.
Yeah. So he's important. And I'm starting to come around to the idea that Lachie Neal suits this side better than Dane Beams did. So Beams is... obviously a class above Lachie Neal when you talk about pure class.
Was Beams fit? He spent 4 years there.
Yeah, the last
he had a lot of interruptions towards the end there.
I think you can only judge it on the last couple of years when kids started to show signs. Because you wouldn't say no to Dane Beams. I'm not saying you'd say no to Dane Beams, but I think in order to let those guys flourish, like your McCluggages and your Berries, it's better to, like Lachie Neale just doing the grunt work and doing a hell of a lot of grunt work just suits that mix a bit better because maybe they didn't have those before. He can be a grunt player, but he's also classed on the outside. So
inside,
you don't want to rob him of that.
He can play forward. And you don't really – Dane Beams is a good player because he can. If you said to him, you've got 22 weeks of getting bashed, he'd do it. And he was sore last year. He had injury after injury, then obviously had some off-field dramas with his family and then had some mental health issues as well. So he didn't really – it was a pretty cloudy sort of last year or two at Brisbane.
But he was still great in those years.
He was, but I still don't reckon – Dane Beams, I reckon, there for a period of time could have been hand up first, second or third best midfielder in the competition, I think.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't think he got there at Brisbane. He had games where he'd kick a handful and have 30, which was amazing games. Yeah. But – I think
he didn't do it consistently.
Yeah, fresh in Collingwood.
He was pretty consistent, but yeah.
Well, he had 36 on the weekend at Collingwood, and you know, no one. He's not going to get tagged all year, maybe. Like,
well, yeah, there's too many other blokes at Collingwood.
Who's the poor bugger at Collingwood that's going to get it? I mean, Treloar comes off the bench and just goes bananas.
Yeah. You go in with playing A, B, C, D.
Yeah, whichever one gets off the chain, you just keep bouncing him around.
But, you know, I really think that Neale had 43, 8 clearances, 6 tackles, and just dragged them back into that
game.
And
you just see him popping up. He's like a sprinkler. Because we watched him pretty closely for financial reasons. And he just floats through the middle of the ground, the corridor, then he'll get behind the play, then he'll get to where the contest is about to start long down the line. Like, he just seems to pop up wherever the ball's landing, which is it's good to watch Lachie Neale. And I do agree, he's gonna spend – he's signed 5 years there.
I can't remember how much it was.
A long period of time. You'd see him winning. Brisbane do have a record of giving out best and fairest to every player, but
Robinson has a best and fairest.
You could see him winning 3 or 4 in a row up there. He just seems to be that ball winner. He's an A-grade player. He's good. He's good, very good. He's bad, still very good. Like, he doesn't have those shocking days too often. Are you worried about Hipwood?
I'm not too worried about Hipwood. I think he's that skinny that he's just going to take. I don't think he's ever going to get to where we thought he was going to get to.
Yeah.
But he'll still have 2 or 3 special moments in the games where he needs to.
He got smashed yesterday.
Yeah, but he did kick that excellent running goal from 50.
But that was literally his first kick for the day.
Yeah. I don't know. We're not at a point yet, I think, where you need to be too worried about him.
No, but for Brisbane, though, they don't have
that forward.
Too many options where you go, he can afford to have too many rough days.
Yeah, true.
Because it's a big Oscar.
He just bobbed up.
He pulled them into the game yesterday.
Yeah, I liked a lot of what I saw of McInerney.
But you're not going to have that every week.
No. So, okay. Yeah, I take your point that there's something to be worried. You just want to see more from Hipwood. But maybe...
If he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
It's time to...
Maybe he won't be. Maybe he'll have moments of Buddy-like.
Well, I don't like any moments around Buddy's name. There's not many that can do it as good as Buddy. What about
that pocket? Everyone just knew it was going in too.
But even the so one-step goal that he kicked from the sim, there's just something special about him.
Oh, mate, he's unreal. And just one last thing on the Brisbane game, just quickly, as we're filling out the All-Australian team 2 rounds in, Charlie Cameron's going to get in, isn't he?
Oh, he keeps going. Yeah, Charlie Cameron's in. There's always a small forward.
We'll put him in.
Are you happy with Charlie? They were playing good football last year.
Yeah, competitive football.
And then he went down and missed the back end of the season, which did hurt them because he's a player that you plan for.
Yep.
And good teams need to plan for players. If they just turn up and go, there's not too many concerns about the opposition. They just do whatever they want. But when there's a Charlie Cameron, they go, righto, we need to watch Charlie. He goes up the stoppages. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. Whereas there's not, you go to certain teams, there's not many that don't have the star that drifts up or whatever. But it's just a weapon that they have to keep. You put your best small defender on him and they're dictated by where he goes and all sort of stuff.
Yeah, the goals, sort of clutch goals he kicked late in the game, that was great. And I probably didn't expect him to be that accurate from those set shots, but he was.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, I probably think he's better than we thought he was at Adelaide. I think his top line's probably more than
at Adelaide,
thought.
We saw him up the ground a lot more.
Yeah, running up. Well, he started on the back of the square every time.
Yes, and Adelaide would push so far up the ground, and then you'd see Charlie charging through the centre of the ground. I think he kicked a couple from the goal square yesterday, or near enough of the goal square. So he's just finding those little spots in the ground, little sprinkler heads again.
As you say, and speaking of Brisbane last year, a team which is starting to remind me a little bit of Brisbane 2017 is Carlton.
They were competitive.
They were competitive, but they were also, you know, they would, there's quite often, sorry, my phone's just going off. I'm very professional here.
You are in charge of Perth now, though, if people out there don't know.
Yeah.
Do you own Perth now?
No, I don't own it. Okay. I wouldn't mind having shares in it. It's going on the way out, mate. So what I was watching from Carlton, basically last year, Carlton had lose and there wasn't too much to get excited about.
Yeah.
But now Carlton are still losing. They're getting within that 10, 20 point range.
As long as they're not blowouts.
They haven't been a blowout yet, yeah.
Supporters turn up and not...
They get something.
They don't expect to win, but they're like, I'd be really disappointed if we got blown out.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And they'll probably pinch... three or four of the ones that they don't expect to win because they're close enough for long. Like Gold Coast yesterday, hung around long enough that then they had a good period at the end and just went over the top.
Jackie Martin too in that game, so you know had moments where he was nowhere and then he wins the game basically in that last quarter for him.
Yeah, his goal kicking could do with a bit of water.
Yeah, really. I could see him. Well, if he gets it together, it could be anything. But it's almost at the point where we need to stop saying like when he gets it together.
Yeah. So Carlton, I didn't see the game.
Well,
I was
most
out.
Of it, right, is yeah. So you come out of this, they lose in an entertaining game, so you got your money's worth as a Carlton supporter.
Away from home, too.
Away from home at Adelaide Oval, which has been a fortress. Paddy Dow has 23 and 5 clearances. Sam Seaton has like 21 touches at 81%. There's enough now from these kids that you're thinking this could be something?
The young hope.
Which one?
Sammy Walsh.
Sammy Walsh. I can't even remember what he did. I think he did okay. But I'm going off Sammy Walsh for the Rising Star, and I've got a new favourite, which is Zach Butters. I love everything that kid does. I'm right on board the Zach Butters train.
He was I saw his work rate. I was flicking through something with the yards run during the weekend.
He's right up there.
He's right up there.
Yeah,
he's right up there. So Carlton on the weekend. Sorry, whilst I just quickly.
Well, there was one in particular when Port was sort of coming really hard later in the game where he just kicked this dirty ball inside, which somehow like snuck under a defender and right into a teammate's hands for a goal. Sam Powell-Pepper, I think it was.
So Sam Walsh still had 25, 14 contested.
Well, yeah, he's good, isn't he?
He's going to be a good player.
Yeah.
Cripper had 12 clearances, so that's where all the clearances have gone. But Sam Walsh had 3 clearances and, 25 touches, 450 metres gained, so...
He's
second
a good
most,
player.
Second most for Carlton.
He just finds the ball more than we've seen a first-year player find
run.
In a long
time. He's got that adult engine already.
Yeah, he's good to go. But I liked it. Wietering down back was good for Carlton. There's enough signs there that
just leave him.
Something's coming together.
Even if he's not good for a month, just leave him.
Yeah, I don't think he's a forwards bum.
No. It's one. Just don't overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
So just keep him there, and he's a number one draft pick. He's obviously got some talent. He'd probably lose some games, but Carlton are going to lose some games. So does it really matter?
Yeah. So I think as much as we made fun of green shoots over the years...
There's some there.
There's finally starting to see what he's talking about.
Well, Dow's the one I was unsure of, and now I'm convinced he could be their best.
Yeah. We thought in that draft, like, he's now doing the stuff that he did at 18s level on the biggest stage, which he wasn't last year. He's got a wicked sidestep. He sees his way out of stoppages.
Yeah,
he's got a decent kick. Like,
and I heckle Carlton as much as anyone, but... I want Carlton to be good.
Yeah.
Because when the Blues are good, there's that little bit more in every game.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like these last couple of years trying to knock Richmond off. You know, the supporters had a bit about them and they were, a bit chirpy and that sort of stuff. So
it's up and about.
It was
packed houses.
It was the players versus the players. But you also felt like, oh, bugger these supporters. I'd love to knock the supporters over as well. I don't know. I don't think Carlton, when they're going to be up and going, their supporters are so big and they're out there. It's exciting for football. So I think they've had their dark times. Hopefully they've got the wins coming around the corner.
So this is interesting for me because I've never... I only really came to footy because I grew up in Queensland and in country Queensland where no one had any ideas what Aussie rules was. And I've never known Carlton to be good. I came over here in 98 and I've never really been threatened by Carlton.
What's that, 20 years?
Yeah.
Well, they haven't been good for 20 years. Whenever they lost Brendan Goddard...
Number one pick.
Daniel Wells in the draft.
Yeah.
They've still battled to get back from that.
Yeah, so when everyone talks about, you know, what a powerhouse, these that sees them as a big club, like they've never been good.
Because even when Judd went there and they made the finals and won a final.
When Essendon went out.
They were never a threat for winning premierships.
No.
Ever.
No. Yeah. Brisbane did them over.
So you just love
under Voss.
You just love the opportunity that they're a chance to win a grand final. Yeah, you're in the top six, you're a chance.
Yeah.
They've never even been into that, really.
I'd like to see like a repeat of what happened on Streets of Richmond after their flag, if they ever get to that position. I think that's like the value of it.
Like on Street would be on fire.
Having a local spot where you know it's going to go off, that's a big benefit. Where some clubs just don't have that anymore.
The boys down on Lygon Street would they'd have a good party, I reckon, if Carlton were any good.
Be a few back rooms open in the restaurants up and about. Port, I'm starting to think those kids are the real deal. So Butters, which I love, Dersma, Riley Bonner was good as well. Like I think their kids are actually good.
They are good. And also, it's Tommy Rockcliffe.
Yeah. How's this happened?
He's back. Because he was a very, very good footballer at Brisbane, but just did the simple things. Got a lot of the football. Not a long kick.
He's not flashy.
He's not going to get tagged because he's not really, like, you know what I mean? Damaging. It's a bit like a Dommy Sheed at West Coast. Now Dommy's leading the disposals. He's probably not going to get tagged. But you want to stop him getting 35 to 40 touches.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, the kids are good, but they do need those senior players. And Jack Watts has gone now with a broken and dislocated ankle. They do need those top end, the older boys, to be playing at their 7 to 8 out of 10 every week, because they need to be competitive for those kids to also shine.
And they'll get Ollie Wines back in at some point as well.
Yeah, when's he due?
Oh, I don't think he's due for another few weeks at least. Yes, he's water skiing still.
Well, there we go. We did speak about it early in the preseason that when Wines comes back, you'd expect Rockcliffe to disappear and he probably can't play forward. Now, Ollie Wines is working around Rocky.
Rocky's taking his spot and he's got to earn it back.
Well, yeah, you can play both of them, but they need to not run harder because they probably both work their backsides off. But when you think they're probably going to be standing next to Shuey and Yo, for example.
Yeah, it becomes a balance issue,
doesn't
it?
Or Treloar and Beams, who's a good runner. And, they need to be able to keep up with those guys on the back end.
You mentioned Shuey there. Why did GWS not put the work into him on the weekend? So he was let to run off the chain.
That was
chain.
A good game, wasn't it? He played well.
He played really well.
He should have kicked four. He had that one that was taken from him, 50-metre penalty that he ran into the open goal, which there wasn't much in that.
Yep.
And then he was all the way out the back for a goal at one stage. He'd worked his backside off.
Yeah, how does this
and
happen?
And Darling kicked it out of bounds.
But how does he get that much space? Like, how do they allow him that much space?
Which is
how damaging he is.
Funny, because Shuey has been tagged for the last 6 years, probably.
Yeah.
And even when he hasn't been in the greatest form ever, and he was never in that upper echelon of midfielders in the competition, you wouldn't have said he was in the fifes and the dangers and that sort of stuff category.
No.
He was always clamped.
Yeah.
Always.
Because he would have been if he had ever been
Well, he's
going to
be
chain.
The one who can get out the front and he can get the crowd. He's a crowd. He gets the crowds going.
Yeah.
That game on the weekend wasn't setting any standards. And Shuey just cut the moments of class where he kicked goals. You're like, Luke Shuey's still pretty good, isn't he? But does Yoey get off the chain? And Yoey had an interrupted pre-season. So his best footy's still 2 weeks away, I'd say, with a bit of time, a bit more run through the engine and that sort of stuff. Then, say they tag Shuey, and the dual best and fairest winner gets off the chain. And you're like, how'd they let Yo do that to them? That's ridiculous. He's won two. I just think they've got that midfield West Coast with that power, speed and strength.
Mm.
And you can only tag one. You can't tag two.
Well, they're the two now, aren't they? Those two blokes have to make the choice.
And Gaff gets stamped a bit too.
Yeah, he does. Ross Lyon loves taking Gaff.
There's a lot of clubs that do. Hawthorne used to do it in Gaff's first year of football nearly.
Yeah, really?
Yep. Liam Shields used to go to him all the time, tag him. Oh, yeah, because he was just that runner again that sets the game. So there's three that can be tagged. So each week you walk out, I'm sure those three do, and look for your Greenwood, your DeBoers, and think, gee whiz, where's he going? Where's he going? Please don't come to me. And it must be a relief when the tagger doesn't turn up to them at a centre bounce.
Yeah, or you reckon you'd stress about it in the lead-up?
Oh, they're all pretty good. Yeah. I just don't really care.
Yeah.
I'll get a kick anyway.
What do you think of GWS? I was disappointed with them.
They were disappointing. They had their opportunity in the second quarter where they kicked a couple of points, and then West Coast went down and went bang, bang, bang before half time. Disappointing, but I still reckon you put in there a Green, a Kelly, a Mummy.
You'll be all right.
Well, West Coast were impressive.
It's not like a black mark to lose to West Coast at Optus Stadium.
No, it's not, but you wouldn't want to perform like that this weekend.
No, not at all.
And it did show a lot of gaps in their team.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to start filling in a couple of these.
So here we are talking.
Cold walls and stuff.
Well, we're talking about the gaps in GWS's team. Rewind 7 days ago, we say, who's Oscar Allen, Brander, P- Pecoricino. I know his name's not that. I call him the coffee. Petrucelli. Liam Ryan's been pretty disappointing.
Willie Rowley's not
in there. Willie Rowley, I think, is probably a class above
those
guys. You know what I mean? We've named four or five players there. You're like, oh, gee, there's a couple of holes in West Coast forward line.
They managed to put it together.
7 days forward, Oscar Allen's kicked three and looked great. The Pecoricino, he's running and bouncing and looks like Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, taking bounces, kicking goals. So I think we probably need to create a pattern first to see whether these kids are at the level.
Mm.
When teams are winning easily, which West Coast were in the end, like for 2.5 quarters they had it won, then they sort of showed some good signs. So I'm not convinced West Coast young kids are there yet, but I'm definitely not going to throw out the GWS young kids just yet either.
Nah. So what are we expecting now? We're on Monday. Who's going to start getting slammed? Is it, you reckon Melbourne across the board? All the
Melbourne, Essendon this week.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, yuck. No,
well, and I could have done the same
with Essendon,
with the Essendon midfielders, and everyone says they've got a good midfield, which Heppel, Merritt, Dylan Shield goes deep, but you match them up,
but you match them up
against the four or five best midfields, and they wouldn't win one of those positions.
No.
So. Oh, I'm actually got a sneaky little chance on, and I'm not a Melbourne man, so I'm sneakily probably going to have a little investment
missing
on Essendon this weekend.
Oh, I thought you were going to go on Melbourne missing the eight.
Oh, gee whiz. Well, there's a record saying, like, if you start none and two, your mate Swamp put it up the other day. I think in, like, the last 15 years, three teams have made it. And one was Sydney, who made the grand final in 2014.
Oh, they were none and a lot.
Something, whatever. But yeah, so 0-2, people are like, oh, it's only early in the season. The records aren't good for those teams to start 0-2.
Yeah, that's
0-3, big dramas.
Ooh, big sirens. Mm. That's another one we didn't really get to, which is Sydney. They're just not looking good at all.
Told you.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm still going to tune in.
Yeah, Buddy's
the Buddy Show.
I love Buddy. I'm going to buy the Buddy Authentic hat.
But I'd love Heaney and those guys to get going now.
Yeah, it just seems a shame, doesn't it? Like, they've got enough to... And, you know, Callum Sinclair.
Mills.
Yeah, Callum Mills was still in the back pocket.
Just get him in there. Josh Kennedy still had mid-30s.
Yeah.
It's hard to move someone on from mid-30s. I'm not saying move them on, but I mean, there has to be a spot for a kid somewhere.
Yeah, you can roll them through.
Yeah,
it's not Papley, like, why?
No, you roll them through somehow. You can't. Isaac Heaney, I heard him talking about it on the radio after the game, and the people at the ground just said, he just doesn't work hard enough. Which obviously it's easy for them. They were at the ground. I was listening to, it was a Triple M or something like that, and they were saying, you know, he just doesn't work anywhere near hard enough, which I find it hard to believe. He looks like someone who would work his backside off, but that might be the reason why we don't see him in the midfield, but who knows.
And we'll keep an eye on that one, get it called out. Lex, thank you for joining us. That's fresh off round two, mate.
Beautiful, mate. Look forward to round three.
Yeah, we'll be back in on Wednesday for the 2-minute warning.
Let's do it.
Thank you for joining us. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you do that. Leave a review, leave a rating. And thanks very much to Mazda. There's a million reasons to buy a BT50 or drive a BT50. And the number one reason is value. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL Show. We'll see you next time.